It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Kreshap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaff.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Hey, real quick, before we dive too deep into this week's episode, I want to tell you about something that's really cool coming up that a lot of golf shops in their area are coming together. Clear Creek has offered their showroom to help local area golf shops liquidate some of their year-end inventory before Christmas. So here's the deal. It's a golf equipment sale where you can get up to 75% off equipment, merchandise, you name it. It will be at Clear Creek. Here's what you need to do. Mark your calendars for December the 12th through the 14th, and you can gear up for the holidays with unbeatable deals. It's going to be at Clear Creek Golf Car and Utility Vehicles, 8830 Landers Road in North Little Rock, Arkansas. The sale hours are Thursday, December the 12th from noon until 7, Friday, December the 13th from noon until 7, and Saturday, December the 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now, what's on sale, you might ask? Golf apparel, clubs, equipment, accessories, bags, and much more. They will accept cash, Venmo, Cash App, and PayPal. Certain vendors will also accept credit cards via Square, so make sure you get out to Clear Creek Golf Car and Utility Vehicles, 8830 Landers Road, North Little Rock, December 12th, 13th, and 14th. You can find some unbeatable deals on some golf apparel, clubs, equipment, accessories, bags, and so much more. A lot of the local golf shops around the area are going to one place, and you can help them out and also find something for Christmas as well. And hey, guys, gals, tell your significant other maybe they need to go get something out there to put under the tree for Christmas for you. At UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, they are dedicated to keeping you in the game. From sports injuries to joint replacement, they provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. Audra Burks was inducted into the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame back in October of this year. She is a longtime LPGA Tour player, grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, played and learned the game of golf down at the Rebsman Park Golf Course in their junior clinic during the summers. I had a chance to sit down with Audra when she was in town for that Hall of Fame induction, and I will bring you her interview after the break. Stay with us.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674. Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health, Orthopedics, and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Audra Burke started playing the game of golf at the age of 12. She has two sisters, Dana and Megan, and one brother, Jared. She credits Craig Shankland and her parents and grandmothers as the individuals most influencing her career. She also enjoys fishing, camping, and hiking. After eight attempts at LPGA Tour qualifying tournament, she qualified for the LPGA Tour by placing third on the 1999 Futures Tour money list. She played on the Futures Tour from 1990 to 1999, where she won one title, the 1998 Greater Lima Futures Open. Burks began her golfing career here inside Arkansas, where she won the Arkansas State Stroke Play Championship. Now in college, she won the Iowa State Classic and placed third in the Big East Championship. In 1987, she received the Joan Blumenthal Most Valuable Player Award. On the tee, a 2024 inductee into the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame, Audra Burks.
Audra, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. Do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club?
Oh, yeah.
And what was that like?
Well, it was interesting because I wanted to play every other sport besides golf. And, you know, in the summer, I was driving my mom nuts. Softball didn't start till later in the evenings. And my mom was like, okay, you're not staying in the house. So she shipped me off down to Rebsamen to junior golf, and I was about 12 years old.
What was it about Rebsamen?
Well, I think that was the only place in town that had a big junior program, and it wasn't far from our house. And so it was just, you know, I mean, they had a huge junior program. Jim Rath, which is,
oh yeah,
you know, way back, Paul Lewis was the pro, and Rick Jenkins was the assistant pro back in those days down there. So, yeah, it was just, hey, that's where junior golf was. So you whacked all those balls out there, and then you had to go pick them up, because back then that range didn't have any pickers.
No, it didn't. And I remember Jim Rath putting us in a van and taking us to like Deer Run over in Jacksonville in the Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, he took us to junior tournaments throughout the years back then. And I mean, and he was older then. And so, but yeah, I mean, that was a week long junior clinic. And then after that, it went to every, I think, Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that was it. And after that, I was kind of hooked and still wanted to play basketball. But at, you know, 5'6", you weren't
probably weren't going to make it there.
You weren't going to do much then.
When did you realize, Audra, that you had a knack for the game and that you could be better than most to where it could help you get to college?
You know, I was very fortunate growing up here. Martha McAllister, who played collegiate golf and at Arizona State with a Hall of Famer on the LPGA with Hollis Stacey, you know, she really, you know, I think the Arkansas Women's Golf Association really kind of took me under their wing at a certain point there. And Martha, too, really directed me in some junior tournaments. And I was fairly successful in junior tournaments around here. We had some stiff competition back in the day. Ginger Brown and I grew up together fighting it out every week, I think. So it really was trying to get into that first big national tournament that I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. This is kind of what I want to do. And back in those days, you were driving to Dallas to play. Mm-hmm. So I think the first open qualifier I went to, I was like, okay, these girls are good. I need to work harder. This is what I want to do. And you know, the opportunity to play Major Division I was also a big pull.
And back then, if you could shoot a decent score, you could get a college scholarship, right?
Absolutely. And even today, I mean, you know, you look at, since Title IX, all the schools that have added, you know, women's golf, and there's more scholarships out there than there are young women to take them. So, you know, now to play Division I, you better be shooting in the low 70s. Back then, if you were breaking 78, you could play Division I. Now you better be breaking 70 some to play at some schools.
When you look at the Golf Channel and you see the fact that they are telecasting and broadcasting women's golf tournaments, back in the day, that would have never been thought of.
No, we did not have a girls team at Hull High. I played on the boys team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the fact that women's golf has grown, you know, my first year on the LPGA was our 50th anniversary, where the LPGA Tour is the oldest women's sports organization out there. And you look, soccer now plays for equal pay, tennis pays, you know, plays for equal pay, golf's getting close. But, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable, and it's great how much, I mean, that's the women are, and young girls are the fastest growing in golf right now of anything.
Yeah. You went to Mississippi State first.
Yeah, 1 year. We were just talking about that today out at the golf course. So, you know, played with Matt Frazier, the pro out at Aleutian, and he's a state grad. I said, yeah, I was there for 1 year. They were a top 10 program when they recruited me. And just so everybody knows, Arkansas did not have women's golf
right
at this point
it
in time.
It didn't come along until the 90s.
Yeah, it didn't come along until after I had graduated, so everybody, you know.
Or you might have been a Razorback.
I might have been a Razorback. So, you know, it was a great program. Went down there. They decided in the middle of my first year that they were going to basically blow the golf course up and put us on a little nine-hole thing to practice and a dirt range, and I was like, this is not where I want to be. So transferred to the University of Oklahoma and finished out my career there, and thankful. And back in those days, I was in school with Glenn Day mm-hmm. at Oklahoma and several other guys that played on the PGA Tour. So it was.
When did you know that you wanted to try and make it a career?
You know, I think when you play a sport for as long as I did, from the time I was 12, the big junior tournaments on the AJGA, you know, I think it was always there that you have to try. And played my first U.S. Open in 98, I believe. And I was still playing the mini tour at that point in time. And, you know, just finishing up, and you're walking up 18 with what you see at a U.S. Open, you're like, okay, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do.
It's pretty cool.
It is. You know, I've been very fortunate to play in between women's U.S. Opens and women's seniors. I think I'm at 12 or 13 Opens, something like that. And it never gets old to play in that tournament.
Is there another organization that takes care of the players the way that the USGA does?
Well, I will say, going overseas, you know, I went over to Japan and played Mizuno Classic when mm-hmm. I was on tour. There's nothing like playing golf in Japan. I mean,
they're just starved for it, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, just the things that they... Now, granted, a pro-am might take you 7.5 hours because you have to stop and have lunch.
Yeah.
Halfway through. But, I mean, you know...
Plus the language barrier there. You know, have to listen to the translator.
Yeah. Well, it's a hook putt or a slice putt. They don't. Oh. Yeah, you don't read break. It's just hook or slice.
Okay.
But, you know, the USGA does such an amazing job and really doesn't compare. But, you know, when you go overseas to a smaller country where, you know, golf is, especially when you're in England or Scotland, I mean, you know, you're back over there where golf originated, and it's just a totally different feel. But the USGA really has, I mean, there's nothing that compares to playing in one of their events, even when I was an amateur.
Yeah. Right after Oklahoma, you left and you were worked at a country club down in Florida.
Yeah.
You decided that, I want to try and play, or what?
No, I turned pro. I graduated in Oklahoma in December of 89, moved to Florida in 90. Had already decided I was turning pro. So the mini tour started up in February. So literally sent my paperwork in, turned pro. I was still working, I say full time, and still playing. I was very fortunate that I found a position that would let me go and play, because the summertime's down there, nobody wants to play golf in
right,
Florida.
Right.
So I was very fortunate that I could do that and be able to play back and forth and play. Back in those days, it was the Futures Tour. It's the Epson Tour now. So I think I played 4 tournaments my first year, trying to make enough money to stay out there and play and take the time off from work.
When you made it to the LPGA Tour, was that, did you let out a sigh of relief that, oh, I finally made it?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things that whether you're trying to qualify and you go to that one tournament every year, finals at Q School, which they've now changed, and you've got one time, four rounds to get your card. And if you don't, I mean, four rounds of golf that dictates your life for a year. So when I got my tour card, you know, that was the first year that the Futures Tour gave away three cards. The top three finishers on the money list got their fully exempt card on the LPGA. And if you were inside the top 10, you got an exemption to finals. So you didn't have to go do sectional. So I think I was eighth or ninth going into the last tournament. I was just trying to stay in the top 10. Never thought figures wise, numbers wise, money wise, that I could get to the top three. My middle sister Dana surprised me that week. So the first day I played terrible, shot 73 the first round. Second round came out, birdied the last five holes to shoot my career low round the first time at 63.
Oh, wow.
And vaulted from barely going to miss the cut to in second place behind Grace Park. Final round, never thought in a million years, you know, I was just trying to stay in that top 10. And Grace Park's dad, for 18 holes, never cheered for his daughter one time.
Really?
Every shot I hit, he was giving it, clapping, hey, come on, you can get this.
Because he knew where you stood.
He knew. He'd done the numbers, and he knew that if I finished second and the person that was up there had, you know, finished at a number, I had a chance to finish top three. So when I putted out on 18, I think I shot 71 the last day. He walked over to me and he goes, you've got your card. And I looked at him like, I think you're, well, I did by $156.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, it was a little bit of a shock, and it was like, no, this can't be right. Somebody had to calculate wrong.
Audra, how tough was it starting out trying to get there, trying to earn money to where you can keep going? Because the purses that we see today are nowhere like what they were back then.
No. So I used to laugh. People used to ask me who my sponsors were. I said Visa, MasterCard, and American Express.
max out.
Yeah. I mean, it really was. I mean, that was one of the reasons why when I went to Florida, I stayed down there, because I could work in the summertime, because, you know, there's always people coming to Florida, especially in the Orlando area. So I could make enough money to try to keep me afloat to play. And I was very fortunate. I was always in the top 20 to almost every single week when I was playing the mini tour, and was fortunate enough, even though you weren't playing for a lot of money, you were playing for enough that could keep you moving and keep you going forward. And, you know, one of the things that we have in women's golf that you don't see much on the men's side is private housing. And that really makes a huge difference, is to get to stay in private house, with a family who 90% of the time would feed you, you know, just that cut down on your expenses a ton.
Did you keep in touch with some of those families that would take you in for a week?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like I've got adopted families all over the country. I've got some that I still see, and actually have, my private housing in Toledo still comes out and caddies for me now on the senior LPGA. That's what her goal is. So, because it's, you know, I won't say it's hit and giggle, but it's still not like, I mean, I'm not trying to make a living. I'm just out there to have fun, see my friends, play some good golf, and so it's a easy thing for her to do. She's a retired school teacher, so.
What was it like playing with Meg Mallon, Laura Davies, Lorena Ochoa?
You know, my time on tour, I got to play with some of the greats. Pat Bradley was still playing. Nancy Lopez was still playing. Those players, Annika. You know, it was just one of those things where, you know, you knew you were playing with greatness, but it was still, they never portrayed or push forward to make it feel uncomfortable for somebody like that. I mean, Lorena, I wish she would have stayed and played a little bit longer. She was unbelievable. Pat Bradley and Lopez were towards the ends of their career. Meg was, you know, I was there at when Meg won her U.S. Open up in Massachusetts, and played with Annika at second to the last group on a Saturday at the Open in 01 at Pine Needles. She didn't win that week. Christy Kerr snuck in there and beat her.
Yeah.
But that was probably the first time I played with Annika, was at the U.S. Open in the third to the last group on Saturday. And that was quite an experience. First hole was just make contact.
I was going to say, you're probably pretty nervous, right?
Yeah, just make contact.
When they announce your name?
Yeah, yeah. And you're playing with Annika, the number, you know, she'd been number one at that point for I don't know how many weeks
in a row.
She
was just dominant, wasn't she?
She was. I mean, just unheard of.
Was it that intimidating when you walked on the first tee that you're in her group?
It was the first time I played with her. After that, I got to know her. I got kind of suckered one day, and we were in Williamsburg, Virginia, Kingsmill, and doing putting drills on a practice round day, not paying attention to anybody. And all of a sudden, you know, when you feel something and you look down, you see a shadow. And you don't know who it is. And I turn around, and it's Annika. And she looked at me, and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Practice." And she goes, "Let's have a putting contest." And I'm like, "Oh, boy. Okay, how much money am I going to lose today?"
How much did you take off of her?
Well, I lost. But she was like, "So who should go first?" I said, "Well, let's think. You're number one in the world. I'm number, you know, something. You go first." She drains the first three putts. I think I lost. So the next day, you know, we played for $5 or $10. I don't remember. So the next day, I walked into the player area. Gave her my $10. She goes, "Oh, no, you're signing that." So I signed it. I said, "What are you doing? Oh, you know, wallpapering a bathroom with every sucker you took money off of?" But she really was. I mean, you know, when you saw her outside the ropes or in the locker room, inside the ropes, yes, she could be very intimidating, even in the same group.
Is there anything, Audra, that you wish you would have done different in your career?
You know, that's a tough one. You know, we always can look back now and say, well, if I'd have worked a little harder, if I'd practiced a little bit more, something like that. But, you know, overall, I feel very fortunate to have been able to do what I wanted to do for a living. You know, I wish I hadn't blown my back out so I could have stayed out there a little bit longer. But thankful that I had the career that I had and feel like I was successful. You know, I won on the mini tour. I had a couple of chances to win on tour. Just didn't happen, but you know, I had some really nice top tens and a couple of top sixes, and got to live my dream.
When you are watching golf now and this person is on, you're stopping what you're doing to watch. Who is it?
Well, on the women's side, I really enjoy watching Nelly Korda. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with
perfect
that.
Perfect swing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's perfection in motion. You know, on the men's tour, men's side of things, I mean, I've always enjoyed watching Tiger. Wish he could play more. Understand why he can't. Really gotten into watching Colin Morikawa and Xander Schauffele. I think both of them are incredible and are going to do great things, and you're starting to see that.
What would you say to young girls, young ladies that might be thinking about picking up the game of golf? Why should they?
Well, you know, whether you want to play professional golf or not, golf's a sport that you can play for your entire life, and you can play at any level. So, and I think for young girls that get involved with golf, you know, golf teaches you so many positives in your life, whether, you know, just the honesty and the integrity that we all have to play this sport, which, yes, you should have that in every sport, but golf really puts you to the test with that. And I think for young girls, getting in there, learning to be a little competitive. Unfortunately, you're still going to battle the boys a little bit, but not quite as bad as you did back in my day. But it just really, you can tell a kid that has played golf. And I think in the job market, a female going up against the guys for a job that can play golf and that was either a college golfer or a standout junior player, I think that's a benefit that maybe some people don't think about as being a benefit. But it shows that you're willing to get in there and fight and be competitive.
I know you probably wish you were still able to play at the level that you did back in the day. But the reason I say that is because the purse is now with the U.S. Women's Open.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's up to now, don't you wish that was around back in the day?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you look at just the purses in general. I mean, it's still the LPGA Championship, even though it's called the KPMG PGA mm-hmm. Championship. Just the purses that the sponsors have now come in, they've really started to understand that women's golf is something that relates more to more people than I think most people realize, especially a good amateur male player. I mean, you can actually see a little bit more. You're not watching them just swing as hard as they can and mash it as far down the fairways, because most people can't do that.
Right.
But yeah, the money is growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, you know, back in my day, we still had a couple of tournaments under $1 million. I don't think, but there's one tournament currently that's under a $2 million purse right now on the LPGA.
Crazy to think.
It's crazy. I'd love, if I had about another 30 yards, maybe.
Audra, what does it mean to you to now be in the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame?
You know, it really is a tremendous honor, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity and to be able to, you know, I look through that list of names, and there's a ton of names in there that were beneficial and influential in my life. And you know, people I grew up with, Chris Jenkins and I grew up together and played. We played a lot of golf when we were kids, and his wife, Mandy, and I, all, you know. And then the men and the women of the Arkansas and the Women's Golf Association that really took me under their wing. I mean, I know we just lost Wanda Jett, but she was one too that, I mean, she was a spitball, but she was fun to play golf with. And, you know, it was just a great time. And I think it was great to grow up here. I think, you know, would my career have been different had I grown up in a different area? I think it would have been. I don't think I would have been as successful playing golf.
Rebsman Park back in the day had the postage stamp greens. Do you think that helped you having to go after small greens like that as opposed to now where big greens down there and big greens, it seems like, almost everywhere?
Yeah, and that's what I play best on. I like playing the small greens, the old traditional greens. And you know, growing up there, I was very fortunate that Paul Lewis used to let me sneak up with Junior Lewis up to Little Rock Country Club on Monday so I could play on bent grass greens and practice in real bunkers because, you know, we didn't really have much of that down at Rebsman.
There wasn't a bunker down there at Rebsman.
No. Well, there was, but it was a sand pile that you could practice out of. But, you know, I look at that and, you know, the greens were good there, but they weren't nearly what I was playing when I went to play national tournaments on the AJGA or around. Mm-hmm. So I've, you know, the fun things that you got to do that probably couldn't get to do nowadays. So, you know, it paid to have your brother be the pro up there.
Yeah, no doubt. Best golf course Audra Burks has ever played?
The one I made the most money at. No.
100%, yeah.
Well, on tour, you know, I love playing in the Northwest Portland area. I tell you, the most interesting golf courses were in Japan because you had, you know, you hit it down the middle of the fairway and it was either a dogleg left or a right, depending on if you were in the summer or the winter. Some of those golf courses were unbelievable. And one I played today wasn't too bad either.
Yeah, yeah. Elotion is pretty nice. Pretty nice. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play around a golf with, who would it be?
Probably Patty Berg, Ben Hogan, and Tiger.
Wow. That's not a bad group.
No. Got to have one from current.
Yeah. What do you think the conversations would be like in that group?
Well, Patty would probably be giving Tiger a lot of grief. I got to meet her on several occasions. The first time I ever met Patty Berg was at Pleasant Valley. My aunt and uncle were members there, and she came to do a clinic. And I had just bought my first set of Wilson Staff Patty Berg irons. And so I got out there and got to meet her and got to hit shots with her. And then I met her again when I was on tour, and she wasn't going to take any flack off of anybody. So she probably would have pressed the two of them.
Probably so.
So the conversation probably would have been colorful.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it was. Well, congratulations on going into the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassiz 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is taking golf to the next level. As the official orthopedics and sports medicine provider for Razorback Athletics, UAMS Health covers all 19 Razorback sports programs, including golf, and is the official medical partner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. They're also proud to sponsor professional golfers Ken Duke and Glenn Day. Have a golf injury? Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674.
That will just about do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group,
a great partner of From the Shortgrass. And hey, when you need an overnight place to stay, find them on the web, bphotels.com, and stay at one of their great places. Also, remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.